Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Thank you. Thank you. And welcome to ENN, which tonight is brought to you by our friends at All American Ford. Check them out online, allamericanford.net. They're doing great stuff over there. You can even order a car from the comfort of your own home. And when everything clears up, they'll deliver it right to your driveway. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I have a big dictionary.
And then I'll also say good evening to Don.
You throw a me, I'll throw a you.
And it should be noted, I want to give a shout-out real quick. We got an email earlier from Mike in Long Island. And it says, I'm a huge fan of the K-Show and ESPN Radio. I work for a small business in Lynbrook, New York that's hurting right now but is still open and serving the community. I would be so happy if you guys could give them a shout-out. Angelina's Pizzeria on Atlantic Avenue in Lynbrook. Angelina's Pizzeria on Atlantic Avenue in Lynbrook is open every day for delivery and pickup for pizza and other delicious Italian foods. So shout out to Angelina's Pizzeria in Lynbrook. All right, guys. First of all, we're going to have results of Drop Madness in 14 minutes. So you have 14 minutes left to vote right now. TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Okay? Bucks GM, Jason Licht, spoke on Get Up about Tom Brady and how things came together. Let's hear from the Bucks GM.
Bruce made it clear in some interviews that Tom Brady was one, and we did not leave Jameis Winston out of the plan. As soon as Wednesday rolled around and we were able to talk to Tom Brady, we had a great conversation, Bruce and I. We talked to him for over an hour and a half, and he made it clear in the conversation that he was very, very interested. It was almost like a recruitment on his part, telling us why it would make sense for him to come to Tampa Bay. And the following day, we signed him, but it was at that phone call that we realized that we felt like, we had him.
He also went on to say he doesn't see a decline in Brady's arm. He feels like he could play for more than 2 years. And he also said there's only so much money that can go around. There are no plans right now to sign another receiver. Antonio Brown is somebody that Bruce has came out and said some words about, and Bruce knows him better than all of us. So right now, I would say we're all focused on other areas of our team.
What do you think Tom Brady's obsession with Antonio Brown is? I mean, I know he's a great talent, but he doesn't need him in Tampa Bay with those wide receivers they have. So why is pushing this guy? I mean, he doesn't even have a long relationship as far as I know with this guy.
You know, there is an interesting bond between them. I don't know. He really seems like, when you look at the things that he said about him, the offering him to live in his house, the things that Antonio Brown has said about him, in spite of him bad-mouthing everybody else, that it sounds like there is some sort of connection there. And you wonder if it goes, you know, maybe Brady feels for him, or is it just that Brady sees an opportunity to work with maybe the most talented receiver in the game still? Maybe he still believes he's that guy.
He must just be looking at it from football. Or he sees a side that nobody else has seen, at least recently from Brown.
Or maybe he just is trying to save somebody. But why die on that hill? This guy's done nothing but really disappoint everybody. Everybody from team to team, coach to coach, GM to GM. He has disappointed everybody. I think
Weird, Tampa
Bay's smart to not get involved.
When AB came to the station a few months ago, even though during the interview he was a bit weird, cagey, You can watch it on YouTube. It's a long, weird conversation. There was something about him off the air that was really nice and sort of like a lovable kid who seems kind of confused. So I could see a world in which he charms someone and you really think like, oh, no, I know the real guy. He's not the guy who's doing all this other stuff. So maybe that's it. Or, I mean, listen, or maybe Brady remembers what he was able to do when he had Randy Moss. I mean, you guys would agree, Antonio Brown's the closest thing to Randy Moss he's ever had.
You know, that they had a couple of reclamation projects on that perfect season. Junior Seau, everybody thought he was done, and they were able to get him back and playing at a Pro Bowl level, and obviously Randy Moss. So maybe he just feels like, I know him better than anybody else. He's got tremendous talent. He's not going to have to be a number one receiver. He'll have a little less responsibility. Yeah, maybe there is that kind of Mother Teresa side to him that he's just going to try to make it work.
Brady's dad has spoken about his son, and he's popped up from time to time. He went off on Roger Goodell after Deflategate, and he downplayed the departure from New England for his son. But now he says about Brady leaving, I think it's just change. I don't know if it's a divorce. I just think 20 years together is a long time. I can't tell you the hundreds of times that Tommy has said Bill is the best coach in football. Tommy sings Bill's praises. A divorce sounds a little bit harsh. I think it's a separation. Well, by the way, I'm sorry to be Captain Literal Man here. They're not going to get back together. So, I mean, let's
he's probably
consider, like,
thinking,
the Hall of
though,
Fame.
A separation in terms like when Brady's done, he's going to go back to Gillette Stadium and they're going to retire his number and things like that.
And I guess
like
that's
that,
true.
Yeah.
He's obviously
he's trying to put
be
lipstick
there
on a pig here. Obviously, it's a divorce.
Right. They'll still get together at graduations and things like that.
Right. Sure.
Brady was actually on social media on the weekend. You know, everyone's a little bored on social media trying to figure things out. But he did a little viewing of Super Bowl 51. And he did like commentary and on IG story, just a few little things. Some angry faces when they were down 21-3. Of course, this is the Falcons comeback 28-3 game. He at one point he put up a caption that said, "Why am I nervous?" Talking about watching them when they're down. So listen, Brady's bored. Everybody's bored. And also we have learned over this whole process, Brady is a troll as well.
It is fascinating, though. And now, granted, it's not the same thing because it was 50 years difference. But in Joe Namath's most recent book, the whole premise of the book is him going back and watching Super Bowl III for the first time since, like, immediately after it on film. And it's just fascinating to see a player watch a game, like, on television. And the things that they maybe missed or didn't realize or just tell the story or reminded of that they didn't think about for so long. Again, it doesn't really apply here to Tom because it was only just a couple of years ago, but it is fascinating because they're seeing the game. They don't watch the television feed. They play the game, they watch the film after, and they move on. How many players get a chance to actually watch the broadcast of a game that they play?
And in football, more than any other sport, it's not even close. Like, what you see on TV is so perfect and crystal clear and easy to spot. And what a quarterback sees through their helmet looking around at a million miles an hour, how different must it look when you go back and watch it?
So it is a cool premise.
And they never look at TV tapes, ever. They have coaches' tapes. They never, ever. It's probably a first for him.
Yeah, unless they just stumble upon it on NFL Network or something. I mean, really, how often does that happen? Almost never, right? It probably is hard for them to watch sometimes, too, because they're hearing the commentary that might be completely off from what they were thinking. But for special moments like that, it could be fascinating to make a TV show out of that.
Jay Williams was on Golic and Wingo. He had an interesting idea about a way the NBA could return. Let's hear from Jay Williams.
You know, you already have Mickey Arison, who is the owner of the Miami Heat, who owns Carnival Cruises. Now, granted, Carnival Cruises has been going through some challenging times as of late with some of the cruise ships. and what they've been dealing with. But I think if the NBA, if you are trying to find a way, if this happens in May or June, if we're still not in that great, great place, but maybe we're in a better place, maybe if you can take two of those massive cruise ships and there's testings before everybody goes on the ship, you allow the player and their immediate family, being that wife or their kids, are allowed to go with them. And you have an Eastern Conference cruise ship and you have a Western Conference cruise ship. Obviously, everything is sterilized all the time. You have the media companies that are able to drop their equipment in. You never really go to shore. You stay out on the cruise ships. And you build two courts on those cruise ships. Now, I know fans may not be allowed to go, but still, the broadcasting companies could actually broadcast these games. The team members and their family members could be isolated to a degree for that span of that's 40 days, whatever it may be, and then you're allowed to potentially have these games. The Eastern Conference Finals, you go right into the playoffs, maybe give a week for each team to prepare, but you go right into that for the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, and then you have the championship game on a cruise ship.
Thoughts?
Trying too hard, bro.
Well, no, you know what? I think they're going to move heaven and earth to get the games on TV, to get their TV money. They really will. And what's Ice Cube's league, Peter? Is it the Big Three?
Yep.
They came up with an idea, which I think is unbelievable. Put the entire Big Three teams that are going to face off against each other in a tournament and sequester them in a Las Vegas hotel and play all the games at that hotel and televise them. And even Paul Pierce said on The Jump the other day, he would definitely be into that. He would definitely be into that. So there are ways, because the worst thing that's going to happen is if a sport comes back and you have a Rudy Gobert situation where somebody tests positive, you've got to shut the whole sport down again. So if you do come back, you almost have to sequester these players that they cannot get ill. Because if they get ill, the whole thing is thrown out the window.
Right. Unless we get to a point where medically we can manage any illness where it doesn't get out of hand. I think that's just our best hope, is improve the testing so that we can immediately know who has it, who doesn't. And then if we can get to a place in medicine, even before the vaccine, where the illness is manageable, where it's not anything that could be life-threatening, then you can kind of move forward. But there's a couple of things wrong with the cruise ship, right? I think you can find a building on land that can do the same thing, where you're not going to have – how far out to sea are you going to go? And then what if there's like a particular day there's a storm and you're not going to be able to play because the ship's rocking, right? And right now, from an optic standpoint, if God forbid anybody got sick on that boat, the way it really seems to spread on cruise ships, I don't think that's a good idea at all, do you? You should be able to find some place in mainland North America that can do the same thing that a cruise ship can do.
Well, I understand why you're antsy just hearing the term cruise ship based on what we know with what happened in Japan, et cetera. I get that. But if everyone was tested and you knew going on that everyone was safe, I feel like it's the safest thing you could do. No one's getting off. No one's interacting with anyone else. Although I do like the Vegas hotel idea. And Michael, you could have the whole NBA in the MGM Grand.
Yeah.
Like, you look at one of those massive Vegas hotels. First of all, some of them are connected underground. You can get from one to another. The hotels will be related, right? There'll be two different hotels, Paris and Bally's, whatever. You could have the entire NBA in two hotels. Each hotel has their own convention centers where you could have multiple courts. You're able to get the TV on, which, first of all, yes, there's a money play for the NBA and the networks, and I hear that. But let's be fair. It's also really good news for the American public. We would love to have the NBA on. Let's not act like it's not a good thing, too. It is. And then for the city of Las Vegas and the hotels and the places you could support, I mean, it's not the worst idea to try to think about what options you have.
I think that's probably... Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, there are some things that are problematic. Who's cooking the food? Because the people that work in the kitchens of the hotels have to also be sequestered.
Well, they'd be sequestered, too.
Able to go outside. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone has to stay there.
Sequestered.
The thing is, when you start talking in those terms, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people to manage. That's a lot of people to keep in one place for a long time. What if somebody had to leave? You know, you're talking like, because it could take 2 months, right, to finish up the season. How do you keep people in one place for 2 months? Because I think once they leave, then they would have to get tested again before they came back in. Are you going to be able to keep track of all the people that are coming and going? Who pays for that? You know, if you still have the virus going on, do you want like police in Vegas to have to be patrolling this one area when there's other areas that have to be taken care of? There's a lot that has to go into that.
A lot, but these are leagues with a lot of money, and a lot of people need to work.
I think that might be our best shot at getting this done sooner than later.
Well,
if you're waiting for
Brian Windhorst, who's not only has a huge role in today's Drop Madness, but he also spoke earlier on what we're looking at in all likelihood with a return to the NBA at some point.
Yeah, they're having conversations at the ownership level about what to do here, but they have no timeline, of course. The reality is, and I know that I started talking about this over the weekend, and I got a lot of pushback, Greeny, but I have to talk about reality. The reality is that not only when it comes back, there are not going to be any fans, but there's a decent chance that they're going to have to look at centralizing teams. It is what the Chinese are doing with their league, and they're facing a four-month delay to get it done. Over the weekend, the Premier League, there were reports out of England that the Premier League, you know, the leading league in the world for soccer, is thinking about doing the exact same things in the Midlands in England, basically out in the rural areas. And I think this is what the NBA is going to have to seriously look at, is centralized locations. LeBron shot down the concept of this idea last week. Other players that I have talked to don't like it, but it is what the reality is. The hard thing, the number one thing, is to get the players protected and to keep them healthy, and you can't travel to do it, and you've got to create like a tunnel for them to stay in. And that's why I think it's going to have to be maybe not at one place, but it may be a couple centralized locations.
I don't know what the problem is. I mean, you don't have to have your family, so you don't want to be separated from your families for that long. But if you want to work and you want to do your thing and you want to have a champion this year, I think that's the only way to do it. I mean, as long as the virus is still out there and there's no treatment for it, and there's no ready-made vaccine, although not vaccine, but test, but that seems like it's coming shortly. I don't know any other way you could do this. Again, yeah. The worst thing that's going to happen is the league that comes back and then somebody on the field or the court or the ice gets tested positive and you're going to shut the whole thing down again. You can't have that. It's got to go uninterrupted.
Yeah, and I don't know. You got to cut down on the number of people. So I can't see you allowing your family to stay. You would have to make the sacrifice that for a couple of months you're going to have to be away from everybody. And I also don't think, Michael, that you'd be able to broadcast on site. I think those games would probably have to be done off a monitor.
Yeah,
because again,
I agree.
You can't bring into you'll have to have some sort of a crew to film it. I mean, to get the camera going to create an image. But if you start allowing broadcasters, I don't think people realize the amount of people it takes to put a game on. And that you're talking, not just the players and the coaches, but you know, doctors, and there's going to you're opening up an arena, so there has to be some sort of security, right? You're talking about there could be like 200 people,
and they all have to be hermetically sealed for however long this takes.
So if you do the Vegas idea, you don't want them going outside, you don't want them to have any contact with any people from the outside world. So you're going to have the people, you said, to cook their food. So you're talking like to have a complex like that, you're like 1,000 people for all the different teams that would participate. It's probably worth it, but these are the things I hope they're working on now, because that's not something you can do overnight. You would have
Can't just throw this together.
All that has to be worked on, as if anybody who came up with that option has got to be doing all the logistics now.
Tokyo Games have been rescheduled for July 23rd, my birthday, which I really appreciate. It'll be July 23rd to August 8th next year, 2021.
So it's two birthdays away from
7/23.
Yeah, you'll be 42.
Yeah, not this birthday,
right.
Next birthday. It's going to be a great one. I might celebrate in Japan.
Interesting.
Of course, they were scheduled to open this year, July 24th, and close August 9th, but they've been delayed a year. Lionel Messi and Barcelona have decided to take a 70% pay cut, as reported by ESPN FC last week. At first, they rejected an initial proposal. That was reported last week, to have their salaries cut. But Messi had a statement on social media, and he said that he and his teammates, quote, desire has always been for reduction to apply to the salaries that we receive because we understand that this is an exceptional situation and we are the first that have always helped the club with what they have asked of us. And Messi also went on to say, on top of that, I'm richer than God. It doesn't matter what I do.
Did I see, Peter, he makes $72 million a year?
I would believe any number. You could tell me Messi makes anything, and I'd believe it.
Well, that's got to take a hit, right, for the foreseeable future. Like Scott Van Pelt said, you know, you've got a lot of companies that are going to be hurting when this is all over. Are they going to be able to advertise on television? Are they going to be able to afford these athletes to pitch their product? You know, so you just wonder if that making that kind of money is even going to be feasible for the next few years. I don't see how it could be. Everybody's going to be affected by this financially, right?
How could they not be? You know, Celtics guard Marcus Smart says he's been cleared after his coronavirus diagnosis. Brad Stevens, not Bad Stevens, had said last week that Marcus was doing better, and Marcus confirmed it. I love Marcus Smart, by the way. He's one of those players that the years go on, you realize. Don, you know when you realize you look up at a player on a team and you go, oh, he's one of our guys. He's become like a really one of our guys. Marcus Smart has sort of become the definitive Celtic of the last 5 years. Really great, scrappy player. And this year he's been good. 13.5 points, 3.8 rebounds, 4.8 assists. And Boston was in third place in the Eastern Conference, 43-21. On this day in sports history, 1991, anyone?
March 30th,
1991.
That's right. Late March, 91. Big moment. Big.
I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. Towel. Picture a towel.
UNLV won?
UNLV lost. Duke upsets. Yes, the defending national champion, UNLV. 79-77. Of course, I was referring to the towel that Jerry Tarkanian loved to chew during every UNLV game.
But they won the next year, right?
No, they won the year before.
Oh, really? That was going to make it two in a row?
Yeah.
You sure?
I thought so.
I'll check.
They were the national champion before that. And they were going for back-to-back years.
God, 29 years ago. Jeez.
I know. Can you believe that? All right, guys. It's time.
Yeah.
Drop Madness.
How about this one?
We're going to start out, if you will, in the Michael region, in what was the closest final we've seen. Michael's very happy. The 3 seed.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Wins 50.6 to 49.4.
Ooh,
over.
Wow. Wow, that was close.
How are you
a
able to get those 1 point numbers?
Victory. How do you like that?
How are you able to get it so exact? I just have 51-49.
When you go to the final results now, on Twitter, when I click on it, I see the exact details. Now, in the most voted on game of the day, Windhorse versus Windhorse, it was a blowout for the 3 seed.
Windhorse at sea!
A 76-23 winner over
Windhorse in space!
Now, speaking of blowouts, you know what? I'm impressed.
Yeah, this is saying something.
The audience didn't just want yelling. Don's 3 seed dominates.
Budweiser Nips over Gypsy Pond behind Clixies.
73-27 over.
God, I've been making an face dead.
I'm so relieved.
Clixies might win the whole thing.
I'm happy because that was a very, very tough time in my life. I feel I regret that moment. I wish it never happened. And it also shows that maybe people are getting off this whole Don yelling thing, and then maybe I've got a chance to win this for the 4th consecutive year, by the way, without me just screaming like a maniac.
Also, speaking of maniacs, Andrew's 11 seed.
No, because I've had it.
Loses big.
Oh.
Yeah, 62-38.
Hi, guys.
That was a tough
my
big
goodness.
Win for High Guys.
That's ridiculous.
So does Andrew have anything left?
Andrew's been getting absolutely mollywopped in the other region.
But you know why? Because he's made the more low seeds because he's somebody that doesn't want to show off.
That might be it.
I've had it, which should have been higher than an 11 seed.
That's awful.
But there's still...
The worst tournament ever.
He still has something left, though.
Does he?
I'm going to look right now. Here it is. Let's see. It was horrifying. It's gone.
Yeah.
He has take the L.
Okay.
Just
that's
take
good.
The L.
That's a strong one to have.
Yeah, he has just take the L.
We have a final 16 week. Now. We have a sweet 16.
We have a sweet 16 now.
That is official. We do have a sweet 16. We have the Charlie K impression. I hate everyone except my family. Against Zach Britton.
Wow.
Then we'll have Michael singing Drake up against La La from Long Island. Then we're going to have I'm okay up against This Is Gil. Win
that's
or
a tough
C.
Game. Oh, that's some game. What that's 8 o'clock CBS.
Yeah. Oh, that is beautiful.
Nance, Raftery, Hill, the whole gang.
It's
Tracy
true.
Wolfson.
Then you're going to have. By the way, it's not often that I have two primetime games in my region of the Sweet 16. The other Sweet 16 game in the Peter region, Win Horse at Sea up against Football Screaming. Very
wow.
Strong.
That'll probably be the Wednesday matchup.
Now, but listen to Don's region. Just something gorgeous happening over here. Eric Weddle, the one seed, up against David Blow, the five
wow.
seed.
I don't know where you go with that.
And then you'll have Clixies, oh my God, against Brewers Pirates.
Oh my God, that's a shame.
Hey, Don, all your yelling's eliminated.
That's it. The only thing
and
now
all
is
of Don's yelling drops are gone.
The only way the myth continues is if I just don't win.
True.
Well, and then the last region, you'll have Take the L against the Redskins Hang Up, and you'll have High Guys up against Michael's Roger. This is Roger, this is Michael, that whole deal.
Oh, that's
anyways, that'll do it for Drop Madness and ENN on this Monday evening.
Do you understand, Peter, that in your region, Andrew seeded it perfectly, all chalk, top four seeds advance.
Wow. Andrew's got to be proud of that, because look at yours. It's an absolute mess.
Well, I mean, this isn't Monday morning quarterbacking here. When it came out, we said that my region was an abomination.
No, and you know what? Almost all chalk in Don's region too, with the exception of Brewers Pirates. I mean, he's got the 1, a 5, which is the same as a 4, a 1, a 5, a 3, and a 10. And then in the other region, there's a 1 and a 3, but then a 12 and a 10 because he's repug.
I think that when the history of this tournament is written, Andrew's job as a seeder will be laughably looked at. If you support what he did, you'll go down on the wrong side of history.
I'll go even further. I believe that when people look back at this time, late March 2020, they'll go, what do you remember about mid to late March 2020? I believe most people will say Andrew Gundling's horrible seating during Drop Madness.
You know what? I think you're right.
Biggest
all
thing
around
happened.
The world. Yeah, all yeah. around the world.
Yeah, he's, for those who follow hockey, he's John Ziegler.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.